is also dealing with divisions in the church. He's dealing with envy and pride and self-centeredness. And this writing is to teach the Christians at Corinth about love. In chapter 12, Paul says to the Corinthians, you should seek the spiritual gifts. And by chapter 13, he's saying to them, hold on, let me bring you back to love. Love is the true calling. And in the Greek language, there's many words for love. There's two main words in Greek culture. They knew about eros, romantic love, that sometimes is short-lived. They also knew about philia, which is about friendships and the affection between friends, but can sometimes be conditional love. But what the Jewish people and the Christians brought to them was agape love. In fact, they almost had to invent a new word for this. Agape love. The ultimate love. The love of God. And in chapter 13, 10 times Paul uses the word agape love. The ultimate love. The unconditional and selfless love that seeks the highest good in the other person. And when this agape love is applied to the church, it means hearts are transformed and lives are changed. In this chapter, verses 1 to 3, Paul talks about love being enriching and how it enriches everything. In verses 4 to 7, he talks that love is edifying, it builds up. And in verses 8 to 12 of this chapter, he says that love is enduring. And we're going to look at these three aspects this morning. So the first point, love is enriching. Verse 1, we didn't read this, but Paul says, if I speak in the languages of men and angels, but have not love, then I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And here there's an allusion to the pagan religions that were in Corinth that would have a gong and would be banging it and banging it and banging it to invoke their own gods, to draw attention, their own gods' attention. They had a temple to Aphrodite, the goddess of Eros, not agape. And in verse 2, the Corinthians are arguing again. They're arguing about the spiritual gifts. And Paul is saying to them, without love, this means nothing. If there's no love, there's no value. It is worthless. And in verse 3, they go to the other extreme. They think, if I give everything away that I have, I'll earn favor with God. But they're motivated by self-interest, and therefore, nothing's gained. So in verses 1 to 3, Paul teaches a vital formula. He says, everything minus love equals nothing. Everything minus love equals nothing. Love is the way of thinking. Love is a way of acting, of living and being. Love is the key. Love is enriching. Secondly, Paul says, love is edifying. It builds up in verses 4 to 7. Paul describes what love is and what it's not and what love does. And for Paul, love is not a theory or a concept. Love has to be experienced, and love involves action. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes, and it always perseveres. Love never fails. And in this, we see that there are positive and negative aspects here. He talks about what it is and what it isn't. And then he talks about what the Corinthians are doing. And I don't know if we've got that other slide just to put on now, if that's okay. Thank you. And I did a little slide about agape love. Just the next one, please, Jenny, if that's okay. If there is another one. There it is. I don't know if you can see that, but there are positive aspects to love. Love is patient and love is kind. There are negative aspects. What it isn't. It isn't jealous, it doesn't boast, and it's not proud. Love rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. And what it isn't, it doesn't dishonor. It is not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. And then if we have a look at this church, and I want to say these are good people in this church. There's many, many good peoples here. But what they found was there was jealousy and strife. They were boastful and arrogant. They tolerated disgraceful acts. They were selfish and quick to react. And then they were unforgiving. And this is the negative aspects that Paul is writing about. What the Corinthian church lack is what they need most. And that's love. And I was thinking about this week, that love is patient. And in the King James, the AV version, it says long-suffering. Isn't it? We have to wait and be patient and care and long-suffering. And we all meet people who are grace builders that help us become more patient and more kind. And I find if I forget to love, I'm impatient. When I'm impatient, it means I've forgotten about love. And love is kind, kind to all people, everywhere. Every human being is made in the image of God and deserves our respect and our honor. If we love the other, our neighbor, we love God. We should treat others as we want to be treated, and we should show them love, even if we don't feel like it. I've had to learn that lesson. Often I've had to say, Lord, help me. And he does. And there's people that I thought, man, what do I do here? I'm just going to pray for them. And then what does God say? Just love them. Okay, Lord, help me. And he does. And if you compare verses 4-7 of 1 Corinthians 13, and you look at Galatians 5:22, the fruits of the Spirit, there's comparisons here. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And this tells us that to love in the way that Paul describes, we need the Holy Spirit. Patience, I've got another formula. Patience plus kindness equals grace. And in John 21, Peter has just denied Jesus three times. And I don't know him. Never met him, he says. Three times. And then after Jesus is crucified and on the third day resurrected, he meets the disciples at Galilee and he goes aside to Peter and says, Peter, do you love me? Three times. The first time he says, do you love me? He's using the word philistia as a friend. Peter says, yes, I do. The next time he uses the word agape. And Peter says, yes, Lord, you know I do. Peter abandoned Jesus, but Jesus never abandoned him. And he'll never abandon us. He loves us with this agape love. Love does not envy, it doesn't boast, and it's not proud. But in Corinth, they were envious of each other's gifts. People were puffed up with pride, and knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. And if we look to Jesus, he never boasted. Instead, he grabbed a towel and he washed the disciples' feet. Love does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It's sacrificial. It puts the other person first. And Jesus never put people down. He never ignored them. Love is not easily angered or quick-tempered. And one of my favourite verses, which tells us something important about God, is Psalm 103:8. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and abounding in love. That's who he is. And last week, we were talking about the prayer of Paul that Christ would be rooted in our hearts. It was great. Driving home, I got as far as the Tesco roundabout in St. Neots. I'm signalling to turn right. Isn't it funny how God always tests you and puts this to the test? Turning right round the roundabout, and a lorry pulls out right in front of me. Ooh, right in front of me. I have to brake. And then he stops. And he starts. And I'm like, okay, move on. Then he goes, and I go, come on, move on. And then afterwards I think, oh, that didn't last long, did it? Sorry, Lord. I think I might have called him a rude name. But anyway, I repented. Sorry, Lord. I've still got some work to go. Yeah. Look to Jesus. And keep no records of wrongs. This is one for me, and maybe for some other people, or all of us, in fact. In Corinth, not only were they keeping records of wrongs, they were suing one another. They're not loving one another. And when you keep a record of wrong, the Greek word means that you count it up. You count up the record of wrongs, which means that forgiveness has not fully happened. And I've noticed if I keep bringing back a memory where somebody has hurt me, I haven't fully forgiven them. And I say, Lord, help me to forgive them. And like the lorry driver who pulls out in front, we can be provoked to anger. We can keep a record of wrongs. And that can lead to a danger of delighting in evil. Love does not rejoice in evil. It stands up against evil and aligns itself with the truth. And another example in Matthew 18, Peter asked Jesus, Lord, how many times do I have to forgive my brother when he sins against me? And the answer, Jesus says, you never stop forgiving him. You forgive your brother because God has forgiven you. About 3 or 4 years ago, somebody, a fellow Christian brother, said something to me and did something to me that was very hard to forgive. And it probably broke our relationship, even though we had to continue working together. And it took me 2 years to forgive him. And what happened is, I couldn't forgive him in the natural. One day I had a revelation of how much God has forgiven me. And in that moment, I realized I had to forgive him completely, fully, finally. And I did. And although he's a difficult person at times, a grace builder, we have a good relationship. Only God can do that through the power of his Holy Spirit. And I want to give you a couple more examples. In 2016, my mother-in-law came to live with us. And it was good, but I had to do something called Project Mother-in-Law. And I had to look at 1 Corinthians 13, 4-7. I was talking about loving people one day, and Val said, how can you love other people if you don't love your mother-in-law? That's a good point. I need to look at this verse again. Love is patient. Okay. Love is kind. Yep. Love is not easily angered. Yep. Keeps no record of wrongs. Okay, Lord, I know what I need to do. Help me, Lord. And I'm pleased to say, relationship restored. Thank you, Lord. And one more example I want to give you. One night I was praying and I was asking the Lord, Lord, can you teach me about your righteousness? I don't know what made me want to pray that prayer, but I did. I wanted to know, what does it mean to be in right standing with God? And the next morning I woke up and God had placed on my heart, it's about loving your enemies. I wasn't expecting that. And the first person that came to mind was a plumber who had come to fix a leak in our roof and had left a hole in our bedroom ceiling. And he'd told us he'd fill it up and weeks and then months go by and several texts and emails, and he ignored every single one. And I got angry with it. And then the Lord guided me to 1 Corinthians 13:4-7. And I realized I was keeping a record of wrongs. In fact, it'd gone so bad, I did think about putting a negative comment on Checker Trader. And then I realized I'd be dishonoring him. So I thought, okay, Lord, I'm going to give this to you. And I'm going to trust in the God who is love. And this got resolved. In verse 7, there are four more descriptions about love. And if you notice, there's a repetition. There's a word that Paul uses as an emphasis in these verse 7. It's always. Love always protects. Love always trusts. Love always hopes. And love always perseveres. In Scripture, it says, God is love. And Jesus demonstrates that love to us. And as I was preparing my sermon this week, I had a sense that if God is love, then I should replace the word love with God. God is patient. God is kind. He does not envy. He does not boast. He is not proud. God does not dishonor others. God is not self-seeking. He's not easily angered. And God keeps no record of wrongs. God does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. God always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. That is how God loves us. And this morning, I was thinking about this and praying, and God put on my heart that this is a covenant that he has with us. This is how he's agreed to love us. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. God is love. It doesn't say God shows love. It doesn't say that God can love. It says that God is love. Love is not something that God does. It's who he is. He cannot fail to love us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, eternal life. That's who God is. And no one has a greater love than this, that he would lay down his life for his friends. And that's us. Jesus did that for us. So we've seen that love is enriching, love is edifying. The last point, love is enduring. In verse 13, Paul writes that faith, hope, and love are the three most important things, but the greatest of these is love. Why does he say this? Because love never loses faith, and love never exhausts hope. The love of God is the greatest love that we can ever find. It lasts forever. And it never fails. It will never let us down. So how do we apply this passage, 1 Corinthians 13? This is an inspiring passage about love. And then I realized it also challenges us. And for me, it convicts. It can convict us as well. And if you replace a word for love with Jesus, Jesus is patient, Jesus is kind, does not envy, does not boast, is not proud. That Jesus doesn't dishonor others. He's not self-seeking. He's not easily angered. He keeps no record of wrongs. Jesus does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. Jesus always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. That's the standard. Jesus is love personified. Jesus is our example of how to love. And then I had this thought come that I should replace the word love with my name. And I went through this and it's like, Martin is patient. Martin is kind, mostly. Yeah, and you get the gist here. I went through the whole passage, and I was convicted. And then I wasn't condemned, because I thought, okay, that's where I am now. Jesus is the standard, that's where I am. And I praise God that he didn't ask me to do that to convict me. I did that to realize I needed a savior. I needed someone to teach me how to love like Jesus loves. And the good news is that Jesus came to save us and not to judge us. He came to renew his image in each of us and to make us more like him if we let him. And Jesus meets us where we are, but he doesn't leave us where we are. He loves us too much to do that. 1 Corinthians 13 then shows we need a savior. It shows us what is the love of God. And it shows us what we'll become if we entrust ourselves to Jesus. That's where we're headed. Paul urges the church at Corinth to take these words, these four lines, to heart, to think about them, and let it transform their lives. And each of us can use these four words in First Corinthians 13, 4 to 7, to identify areas where we may be unloving, and then begin to correct them by asking God to help us, change us inside through the power of his Holy Spirit. So in conclusion, the one thing I really want you to take away today is the formula. Everything minus love equals nothing. Everything minus love equals nothing. Love is a choice. It's unconditional and it's selfless. Love is an action. It puts others first and it seeks the highest good. But love is about being, abiding with God, who is love, in Christ, who shows us how to love. Love is about meeting love himself. Love in person, the person who is love. It's about meeting the one whose love can transform our hearts. Come, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you are love, and your love always protects, it always trusts, it hopes, and it always perseveres. Father, we ask, pour out your love on each and every one here today, and each and one who may listen to these words, Lord, I pray this. Pour out your love into our hearts by your Holy Spirit that you've given to us. Lord, help us reflect upon your love, and reflect your love to those around us. Father, I ask you, transform any areas in our lives and our hearts that are unloving. And help us to love, Lord, as you love. And I ask this in Jesus' mighty name. And all the saints say, Amen.